Okay, so we know that this week is Tisha B'Av, and officially 9th of Av is on Shabbos, and this year, of course, when it comes on Shabbos, so we push it off till Sunday. That's what we call a nidche, right? It gets pushed off in the word lidchot, modern Hebrew also. And it basically, this situation creates a number of interesting halachic questions that come up, that don't come up every single Tisha B'Av. So there's a lot of halachas in general that are relevant to Tisha B'Av specifically. We're not going to go through most of them now. That'll be next year, maybe, where you can find plenty of other opportunities. That's right. We hope, I guess for Tisha B'Av, we can always say, yeah, we hope that it won't happen next year. We hope it won't happen this year. We still have three more days, right? There's still a few more days. Anyway, so we have to deal with, assuming that it does happen and doesn't get pushed off for good, there's a number of halakhic issues that have to be addressed, which are very interesting and maybe unusual. Some of them we might have thought of or realized already, and some maybe not. But it's good to go through them systematically and deal with some of the issues that come up. We're not going to deal with every single scenario, but we'll try to deal with some of the main ones. I should mention also that I saw that your wife translated Rav Kreuzer's little, you know, Piskei Halacha about it. What this is going to be, there'll obviously be some overlap because the halachas are the same, but this will be a little bit more of an expanded version of some of the halachos so that come up.
I thank your wife with. I thank you. Tell her also.
Is that for, I mean,
I'm just telling you. It's very Mary. Every time I can, I tell her thank you. So.
What?
Where is it?
It's in the.
Yeah, I'm saying. Yeah. She's the author.
She does it every week, I think, right?
Yeah.
Every week. Yeah.
That's great.
Well, for 3 weeks, she won't do it, so she's looking for someone who can do it instead of her for 3 weeks.
I see. Okay, we can talk afterwards if it's really. All right.
I was traveling, so I just.
Got it. Okay. All right. So let's get started here. So in terms of Shabbos itself, so there's. Most of Shabbos, there's not too many questions that come up that are relevant to changing the halakha from what you would think. In terms of regular Shabbos meals, so basically, you know, there's no question until we get to Sudash Lishit that we'll deal with in a couple minutes. But other than that, so the rest of the meals, you can, you know, eat whatever you want, even though it's the, right, basically, eat, drink, and be merry, even though it's the 9th of Av, but we basically, what some of the Sfarim say is that this is a taste of, you know, in the future times after the redemption. So, you know, Tisha B'Av is going to be a Yom Tov of some sort. So these years, when it comes out on Shabbos, is like a little bit of a taste of what hopefully will be very soon. We get to experience, you know, eating and drinking and singing and whatever happy things we want to do on Shabbos of Tisha B'Av. So Sudas, you know, you can eat whatever you want. We'll see, even for Sudash Lishit, that's okay. Certainly for the rest of the Sudas, you can have guests. You can do basically whatever you normally do on Shabbos, and even, you know, more than that, it's a regular Shabbos in terms of that. The things that apply on Shabbos Chazon, the regular year, is the same thing is true this year, for example. The main thing is the Haftarah that is read is the Haftarah at the beginning of Sefer Yeshayahu, which
many
is where
the community is, there's a minhag to sing different tunes.
For, right. So for Lechad Odi, in Eretz Yisrael, it's not so common.
No.
In Chutz Laretz, it's very common. They sing the tune for Elit Zion. You want to know where that came from?
I don't get it.
It's beautiful, actually.
I know, but that's the whole point, isn't it? You're not supposed to. I thought the whole point is to.
So that's part of the question. Again, that's relevant.
More.
Yeah.
Used to be, and then they didn't change for the Shabbos clothes and the Shabbos.
Right. So again, we're not going to go into that now because that was really every. That's every year. That's not just Shabbos of Tisha B'Av itself. Every year.
No, every year.
The custom was
year.
Right. The Ramah has records this custom that they didn't.
In the Drei Wochen.
Yeah. By the time of the Vilna Gaon, basically the Vilna Gaon turned that around. And by today's times, in the past 100 years, it's basically been accepted that we wear Shabbos clothes. The singing of Lechad Odi, so that, again, in many places in Chutz Laretz, they have this custom to us sing it. They sing it to the tune of Elit Zion, which is the last one of the main last one of the kinos that we sing on. Right, so there's different. The tune that I'm familiar with is, Lechad Odi, na 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 na. A very famous tune, so Elit Zion, the last one of the kinos, at least the Ashkenazi kinos. That again, the argument is basically that even though it's not sad, it's soulful, it's a little bit mournful, but a tune, the argument is that a tune doesn't create mourning. Okay, a tune is a tune.
Right.
Here in Eretz Yisrael, most places here, though not all, but most places here, do not do that. And they would say, well, no, if that's a tune that's only used on Tisha B'Av for Akina, then it's not appropriate to Dafka sing Mechadodi to that tune. So again, that's a question of minhag. It's not really a halachic iser. Again, most places that I see here in Israel, it's not practiced, but in Chutz La'aretz it's very widely practiced, at least among the Ashkenazim. And here also a little bit. So something to be familiar with. That's, again, every year, not just for this year. The other things to be familiar with this year, just in one second, there is a question about about marital relations. We're not going to go into it now, but there's a machlokas about that for Ashkenazim. It seems like the custom is to be more machmir about it. And some people even say for Ashkenazim that the harchakos of separation, of not touching one another, also should be kept on Friday night and possibly on Shabbos as well. There are others that don't hold that way, so it's not absolute. But just so you understand, that type of thing is the kind of thing that we might say that because it's the ninth of Av, that's one area where maybe some poskim say that you have to treat it as Tisha B'Av because there's a concept of avelos b'tzin, of mourning in private. Just like when you're a mourner, certain things are in private even on Shabbos, so this might be one of them. We're not going to go into it now. Okay, but that's just one thing to be aware of. There is a question about that. It's not absolute, the question. The other thing, which is more center stage, perhaps, is the question of learning Torah on Shabbos afternoon. So this is a big machlokas. I'm not going to read everything inside, but just so you are aware of it, so the Ramah in Siman Tufkuf Nun Beis actually says that the custom is not to do that. During the rest of every other year, so the Ramah says the custom is not to study Torah, regular Torah study on Erev Tisha B'Av. And on for Shabbos, so the Ramah says actually the same thing. He says that that the custom, he feels the custom also, is not to learn Torah, regular Torah, not related to Tisha B'Av, which is very, very interesting. Okay, others disagree. The rest of every other year, the Vilna Gaon says, even a different year, the Vilna Gaon says you can learn whatever you want. We don't make restrictions on Torah study. On Shabbos, many other Achronim say that as well, meaning not just the Vilna Gaon, many other Achronim, including the Mishnah Berurah, say that certainly on Shabbos, where Shabbos is Shabbos, you can't go telling people that you shouldn't study Torah regularly on Shabbos. That's not related to Tisha B'Av. So basically, the bottom line halacha, according to most poskim, is that you can learn whatever you want on Shabbos afternoon. However, there are one or two points that might be worthwhile to consider. Some poskim say that if it's not your regular learning, meaning if it's a usual, it's a different thing, you don't always learn. And certainly if it's only you in private, and maybe even a shir, even if it's like an irregular shir, so I saw Rav Yashav held that maybe it's better to avoid it. Okay, he didn't say it was usher, but it sounded like he said that, you know, if it's not your regular learning of Torah, whatever you normally do, then maybe it's better to avoid it. I would say that even if we, you know, paskin pretty leniently about this, and no, by the way, nobody says that you should not learn Torah when you were going to learn Torah otherwise, okay? Meaning if his choice is learn Torah and learn, you know, the laws of Shabbos or learn, you know, Parsha in the afternoon or don't learn at all, almost all the poskim would say definitely learn, okay? Don't say I'm not going to learn at all. Question is, though, if it's possible to learn something related to Tisha B'Av, then maybe it's, you know, slightly preferable. For example, the Daf Yomi Shir, I didn't check the timing. I'm assuming most Daf Yomi Shirs don't cancel the Daf Yomi Shir on Shabbos afternoon. That's, you know, pretty standard. But if you have a different shir, again, it's not a regular shir, there's a question about it. It's always good to have learning about Tisha B'Av the day before. Okay, it's not a bad idea in general. And it also gets you a little more in the mood, even though it's Shabbos, but just, you know, the same way we learn about the other holidays before they come. So it's not a bad idea to learn about Tisha B'Av also specifically. So, and that's one other issue that comes up is the question of Shabbos. I have to ask my wife. I don't know what she decided. I can't imagine, though, that she planned, you know, a shir for Shabbos afternoon right before Tisha B'Av that had nothing to do with Tisha B'Av in the 9 days. I would find that surprising. But if they did, since it's a regular shir, so many poskim would say that it's fine. That's what many poskim would say. Again, there might be some that would say not, but it seems like many poskim would say that it's fine, even if it's about the parsha, since it's a regular shir. So then, that, you know, I wouldn't get too crazy about it. But I didn't ask my wife what she's doing. I don't even know who's giving it. I don't know anything. Can check your WhatsApps, or maybe she didn't send it out yet. We'll see. It could be she didn't send it yet. What else? So for mincha, those who daven mincha on Shabbos afternoon, so tidkascha, we often say tidkascha tzedek right before aleinu, so that we don't say on Erev Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av is called a moed. It's called a special day, even though it's a day of mourning for now. The same reason we don't say tachanun on Tisha B'Av, and the day before Tisha B'Av, we also don't say Tachanun. So on Shabbos also, same thing, Tzidkascha goes with the same rules. So we don't say that in Mincha either. Good thing to keep in mind. Okay, let's go to Suda Shlishi. Okay, this is where the problems begin to start. Okay, actually, one other thing. I forgot one other thing. There's a question for every other year that taking a pleasure stroll or a pleasure walk on Erev Tisha B'Av, that the Ramah says you're not really supposed to do that. It's not usur, but it's the custom is to avoid it. On Shabbos, there's a question also. It's not so clear what the rule is.
He hasn't been here in July.
That's true. But let's say 6 o'clock in the afternoon, not at 3 o'clock. Right. Then you'd be crazy. Right. You know, that's not a question. It's a question of pikuach nefesh. It's not a question of... especially you don't want to mess yourself up before the fast. That's also not a good idea. Right. But the later in the day, so there's a question. Okay, so I didn't see the issue discussed directly. I think, strictly speaking, it's permitted. The same way you talked about learning Torah being permitted. But because it wasn't so simple, it was a back and forth. So, you know, it should be considered carefully. Meaning, if it's something that's important and you need it or whatever, then, you know, I don't think it's such a big deal. But if it's, you know, not that important and it's easy to avoid, then you could consider avoiding it. Again, we're not talking about walking to shul. We're talking about going for literally a pleasure stroll. Okay, going and having a good time. You know, that's, again, it's interesting. I didn't see it discussed directly. But that's, again, a question to keep in mind. I think walking with your kids is fine, if that was a question. But, you know, taking a pleasure stroll by yourself or with your wife or husband, that's a little more of a question. Okay, so now come the big question, Suda Shlishi. Okay, so what's the deal with the Suda Shlishi? So in terms of food is the easiest part. Okay, food, the Shulchan Aruch says very clearly, this is what the halacha is. Some disagreed in times of the Rishonim, but the clear halacha is, he says that in our case, where it falls on Shabbos, Ochel Basar Meshose Yayin B'Suda Mafseket, you can eat meat, drink wine during your Suda Mafseket, which is just the name we give to the last meal on Shabbos. It's not, we don't sit on the floor and eat eggs like we do every other year, but it's the last meal before the fast, which is why it's called Suda Mafseket. Umale al Shulchano Afilu Kisuda Shlomo Beit Malchuto, a very famous line. You can put on your table even all the delicacies and the amounts of food that Shlomo HaMelech had on his table when he was the king. Okay, it means basically there's no restrictions in terms of the type of food that you can eat. Perfectly permissible to do whatever you want. You can have meat, you can have chicken, you can have dairy, it doesn't really matter. You can have wine, grape juice, whatever. It's all fine. The only restriction is not in terms of the food, but in terms of the timing. Okay, the time, as the Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramah says right there, Miut Sarch Lafsik Mi Ba'od Yom. You have to stop in time. Okay, you can't go overboard. This Shabbos, you can't keep eating after Shkia and say, okay, you know, it's fine as long as I didn't bench yet. You need to stop by Shkia. Okay, Mi Ba'od Yom means, but, you know, the same time as the fast begins every other year, which is Shkia, which is here, I think, is about 7:42, if I remember correctly. Exactly. Thanks. Okay, got that right. 7:42, and maybe stop 2 minutes early just to make sure that you don't get the wrong time, whatever it is. You have to stop by then. Okay, you don't have to bench by then. You can bench afterwards, but you need to stop all of your eating and drinking by that time. So make sure to start Suda Shlishi early enough so you give yourself enough time to finish eating in time without having to rush. That's the story in terms of that. The other restrictions of Tisha B'Av also begin at that time. Okay, meaning it's not just eating and drinking, also bathing, okay, washing your hands, anointing. Those restrictions all begin at Shkia as well, just like a regular year. The only ones that don't are leather shoes. So many say that leather shoes, just like a regular year also, you don't have to take off your leather shoes until nightfall. So certainly on Shabbos, they say you can wait till it's Seder Kachavim, until Shabbos is actually over, in order to take off your leather shoes. That you can keep on. And the other thing also is sitting on, you know, on the ground or on a low surface. So that also is generally not included in these rules. That's something separate. So that also does not have to be done until Shabbos is over, which I think is 8:23. That sound right to you? You know, check. I think that's what it said. I think 8:23 is when Shabbos is over. So that's when those two things, the shoes and the sitting on the floor, that's when those two would be in effect. In terms of the other aspects of Suda Shlishi, so there's a question, again, I don't know how often this is done, but some people sometimes invite other families or friends over for Suda Shlishi. Can you invite other people over? Or can you have a big crowd for Suda Shlishi? Let's say, not so much here, but in some places where you have Suda Shlishi in the shul, everybody gets, you know, is together in the shul for Suda Shlishi. So that's a question, can you do that on Erev Tisha B'Av? So the Magen Avraham seems to say that you're not supposed to do that. He says that's not appropriate for a Suda Shlishi, which is going right into Tisha B'Av. The Mishnah Berurah seems to disagree. Okay, he says, he quotes the Magen Avraham, and then he says, he quotes other opinions that disagree with that, and they say, Misha Ragil b'chol Shabbat lisod Suda Zuim Chaverav, anybody who every week has, you know, his Suda Shlishi with his friends, And he doesn't do it this Shabbos. It's like you're mourning in public, which in general we don't do on Shabbos. So he says that you shouldn't do that, meaning you shouldn't restrict yourself by not having it with friends if you usually do that. So again, exactly right. So in Chutzlaret, many shuls, right? You don't go home in between. Most places, you don't go home in between. You stay in shul after mincha because it's too far to walk home or whatever.
Yeah.
You should do it together. So according to the Mishnah Berurah and many poskim, that's not. There's no problem of doing that on this Shabbos as well. The question is, what happens if it's unusual, meaning you don't usually have guests for Suda Shlishit, and you decide this Shabbos that you're going to happen to have guests. So that already seems like maybe that should be avoided if possible. What I wrote here in my notes, I don't think I saw this anywhere, but it seemed to me that it was logical that if you have a family over for all of Shabbos, then you're not going to kick them out for Suda Shlishit, okay? You don't have to send them to the street. I said to me, what did you say? Certainly if it's your kids. Certainly not. They won't be very happy about that. So that should be fine. Now, that's your practice, is when you have a family over for Shabbos, they stay, obviously, through. It should be no problem to have them for Suda Shlishit, but unusual guests seems like it's better to be avoided. Because of the fact that it's not just Shabbos, but it's Sudash Lishi, which is going right into the Shabbat. And once you get to Shki already, after Shki is already, some of the aspects of the fast have taken effect. So it seems like, it's a little bit more of a question about that in terms of friends. A similar question also about singing Zmiros. Is there any restrictions to singing Zmiros at Sudash Lishi? So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a chew about this, interestingly enough, in Chelek Dalad, Vigros Moshe, I think in Or HaChaim. So he says this should be the same thing as food. He says this is not the same thing as having friends. That's already a much bigger deal. He says Zmiros, the same way you can eat normally, you can sing Zmiros normally. No problem of singing regular Zmiros. I saw quoted.
Sure, Zmiros are not necessary.
That's also true, right?
You know, jump up 100%,
100%. I would say if you sing your normal Sudash Lishit Zmiros, which are generally a little slower.
The dove, it is not,
right. 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 So then, that seems like it shouldn't be a problem anyway. I saw Shlomo Zalman Orbach was quoted by some from Halicho Shlomo, that he said he felt if for some chance you are going to throw in some very joyous, happy songs, then maybe you shouldn't do that if it's songs that you don't normally sing at Suda Shlishit. Again, we're basically, halacha is that Shabbos is Shabbos, but because we're recognizing that we're getting very close to the fast, it's very close to the fast, and after Shkia, and even right before Shkia, we sort of have this sense that we want to sort of make it an appropriate, environment for that for the transition, exactly. I wrote here also that let's say you continue your Suda Shlishit after Shkia, so after Shkia for sure, it makes sense that it's a good opportunity to sort of transition yourself by singing slow songs that might be relevant to, the Churban, or let's say Imeshkachich Yerushalayim, like the Karl Bach tune or something else like that, talking about, wanting the Beis Hamikdash back, things like that. Divrei Torah, if you are speaking Divrei Torah at that time, that are relevant certainly to the idea of Tisha B'Av or to long wanting the Beis Hamikdash, something which is appropriate. That's basically what's mentioned in terms of that. Again, that was my hara in terms of the after Shkia, but I think that's that makes sense. Okay, next point. You don't have to start now. It's okay. All right, practicing. Okay. Okay. In terms of the end of Shabbos, so this is the next point. So we generally say that Shabbos ends at the regular time. Okay, you don't end Shabbos early. 8:23 it is this year here. Here in Mitzvah Yericho. So that's when Shabbos is over, and that's when we transition completely into Tisha B'Av. So after that, what happens here, I think in most places, and many places here in Eretz Yisrael, and in some places in Chutz La'aretz also, is the following. They don't daven Ma'ariv right away. Basically what you, probably if you're at home, so what you're going to do at home is Ma'ariv will be delayed by about 10 or 15 minutes roughly. Okay, I think that's definitely what they're doing in the shul down here. I don't know up the hill, but I assume probably pretty similar. I think that's what your wife wrote in the
8:40.
Yeah, so again, 10-15 minutes later.
Why are you not doing minyan? Kind of a...
wasn't my idea. I think it's my fault, by the way.
That's what I'm asking you.
Well, so two things. First of all,
this feeling that,
so I'll tell you two things. First of all, if I may, I think we've been having trouble getting the minyan in general. Friday nights have been we've been fine, but they still been able to show up. Shabbos morning, we basically luckily had a minyan.
Motzei Shabbos. So basically, if Myra is starting late, so what you're going to do at home is first you say Baruch Hamavdu in Kodesh L'chol. Okay? Now you can do Malacha. After that, you can, then you would probably remove your shoes, okay, and put on non-lover shoes. Then afterwards, the next thing to do could be, this is not, doesn't have to be this way, but is say the bracha of Boi Mar HaEish. Okay, meaning this year, we'll discuss Havdalah in just a second, in a few minutes. Havdalah in general is not said on Motzei Shabbos this year, but you do say the bracha of Barimai Ha'ish, because that's the bracha that's only on Motzei Shabbos. So basically what you would do is take your regular Havdalah candle, light it, and say the bracha of Barimai Ha'ish the same way you do in the regular Havdalah, and that's it, nothing else. Okay, that's
before, not after.
Right, nothing else, that's it. Okay, after that you can already change your clothes if you want to change your clothes Motzei Shabbos to non-Shabbos clothes. That doesn't have to be, by the way, that the order could be switched.
To,
okay,
or you have to.
So that's a question. Also, it's not so clear. It seems like it's probably not so appropriate to wear Shabbos clothes on Tisha B'Av. Okay, do you have to change all your Shabbos clothes? I don't know if you have to change everything, but it probably should not be your
shoes. You should.
Yeah, everything else. Again, it probably makes sense to change something. But it's not required, okay? I saw there was a discussion about it. It's not clear that you have to change your Shabbos clothes, but it seems like maybe it's appropriate because to wear your finest Shabbos clothes on Tisha B'Av does not seem to be so right.
You but again, you have to change everything.
Right, or let's say I wear a suit and tie, so I'm not going to, probably would not wear a suit and tie. But, you know, do you have to change out of your white shirt and specifically put on not nice looking clothes? Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. You have to do that.
It's also interesting for women not to wear jewelry.
It's more on Yom Kippur. I don't know if there's a specific on Tisha B'Av. I have to check again. I don't know if there's a specific thing like that, but I could be wrong. I have to check. Sorry, to remember. Here, see, it doesn't say. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't see. And the Nitei Gavriel here, one of the Sfarim on Tisha B'Av. So I don't see. I thought maybe he talks about the Shabbos clothing here. Oh, here it is. He does say here. He says the following. This is the Nitei Gavriel, Gabriel Zinner, who wrote a sefer. He's from Brooklyn. He wrote a series of stories called Nitei Gavriel. He says the following. He says, since in our times, that we generally do wear Shabbos clothes on Shabbos Chazon, and he says it's not appropriate to remain with your Shabbos clothes on the night of Tisha B'Av, etc., etc. So he says that's one of the reasons why it's better to start Ma'ariv late and change your clothes before you go to Shul. Okay? So, but then he says, "Achim midina." But the strict halacha is "Ein chiyuv lishot b'day Shabbos takeif." You don't have to. There's no obligation to take off your Shabbos clothes right afterwards. Okay, that is based on the one of the Achron, the Prima Gadim, the Eshel Avram. So he's the one who says that there's no iser. Okay, you don't. You wouldn't wear Shabbos clothes all to Shabbav, but you don't absolutely have to go out of your way to take off your Shabbos clothes before Ma'ariv. But you know, it seems like maybe it's not the most appropriate thing. He says here that he saw many gedolim that changed their clothes before Ma'ariv on Tisha B'Av. Okay, anyway, we'll leave it at that. It's not an absolute. It's a question of what you feel in terms of the clothing. Okay. All right, and then what you can do, basically, once you finish that, then you would go to shul, you bring your kinos with you, your siddur, whatever. There's no problem of hachana, of bringing something, you know, for after Shabbos, before Shabbos is over. That's a question if you go to Shul and you don't come home in the middle and you bring your kinos with you on Shabbos afternoon, that's a question of hachana. You're allowed to do that because you're preparing for after Shabbos. If that happens to be the case, what you can do is look at your kinos, look at something inside before Shabbos is over, look at one of the kinos and learn it, or something like that. Okay, in terms of Ma'ariv, so Ma'ariv in general is the same as usual, just adding a tachanotenu, obviously, like every Motzei Shabbos. The practice after Shemona Esrei, so you say the full Kaddish with Titkabel, which is the same as every other year, by the way. And then you don't say Vihi Noam, because Vihi Noam is our tefillah, you know, during the week, which should be the same tefillah Moshe had for the Mishkan to be successful. So we daven that our things during the week should be successful. We're not so thrilled about saying that the night of Tisha B'Av, so Vihi Noam we don't say. Then you say Echa, and you say V'yatak Kadosh, the last half of V'yatak Kadosh of Valetzion, that we say every Motzei Shabbos, so that you would say also, and then you say Kaddish without Titkabel and Aleinu. Okay, now to the next big important question. There's two more important things that we have to discuss before we finish. The one is Havdalah, okay? So what's the story with Havdalah? All right, so the first question is, do you do Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos? And that we already said, the answer is no.
Just,
why not?
Just the candle.
Right, just the candle. I mean, just Borei Moharish, nothing else. Why not? So that already, you can guess for yourself. It's pretty logical, right?
Why is it a good, sweet smelling?
Exactly, okay?
Grape juice
right, okay, so Bisamim, you know, we don't, the whole point of Bisamim is to make our neshamas feel better. After Shabbos is leaving, we don't really want to make ourselves feel better the night of Tisha B'Av. In terms of the bracha, the words we say before, like Hine Kel Yeshuati, those are all we call psuke bracha, okay, verses of blessing. And we're not really interested in blessing ourselves on Tisha B'Av. We're pretty sad right now. So we don't say that either. And the Havdalah, of course, you know, you don't have to say Havdalah if you're not eating anything, okay? And especially if the Havdalah is on a cup of wine or grape juice, you can't because you can't drink, right? So basically, in general, we do not say, you're not allowed to say the Havdalah on the night of Tisha B'Av on Motzei Shabbos. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, by the way, very clearly in Siman Tav Kuf Nun Vav. Okay, he says very clearly, you say the Bori Mari Ha'esh, you don't say the Besamim. What about Havdalah? Do you say Havdalah at all? So this is a question in the Rishonim. It's a bit of a machlokas, but the Psak Halacha is very clear. Okay, the answer is you do say Havdalah, but only when
Sunday night.
Uvalil Motzei Tisha B'Av Sunday night, then Mavdil Ala Kos. Then you say your Havdalah on a Kos. Okay, you don't say the Besamim, you don't say the Bracha of Bori Mari Ha'esh, you don't say Hinei Kol Yishlasi. You just say Bori Pri Hagafen, and then the Bracha of Hamavzal in Kodesh L'chol. Okay, that is what you do on Sunday night. Okay, so we'll get to that in a few minutes, okay? That's a question. We'll get to that. All right. A few points about Havdalah. So we mentioned before about the Bori Mari Ha'esh, okay, about the bracha. So again, for us, I think it's not such a big question, but just in general, there is a question whether women are chayav in the bracha of Bori Mari Ha'esh. Okay, there are some posts that say that, but maybe it's not so clear. And therefore, in general, it's probably recommended that a man should say the bracha of Bori Mari Ha'esh on Motzei Shabbos to be Motzei other women. At home. That's generally the practice. If, for whatever reason, the husband is not home, so then maybe a woman can say it also, but it's preferable if the man says it because of that point. Okay, next question. What do you do if you are not fasting on Tisha B'Av, or you have to break your fast in the middle of the day? Okay, meaning somebody who's sick, who does not eat on Tisha B'Av, who's going to eat either at night or during the day. There's a question also, we'll get to it shortly, in terms of
women.
Okay, so the halacha is right. So the halacha is clear that that you need to make Havdalah. Okay? What did you say?
In time.
Yeah, so basically before you eat, you need to make Havdalah. The question is, how exactly are you supposed to do that? Okay? Because maybe even if you are obligated to make Havdalah, but maybe you shouldn't be drinking wine on Tisha B'Av, even if you're allowed to break your fast. That's a question. So, what did you say?
Beer.
Okay, so there's a few options here. Okay, again, this may not be relevant. But it's relevant, so it's good to know about. Okay, so there's two options. Number one, some poskim say, I forgot where I saw this. I think in the Piskei Tshuvos, he mentions the different opinions here, and then Nitzan Gavriel also mentions this. I don't remember who says what, but some people say that it's better to use chamar medina, which is basically not wine, but other drinks that are used as fancy drinks, beer, whiskey. Things like that.
Don't put your candle into the whiskey.
Yeah, yeah. For those of us who don't like to drink beer and whiskey and things like that, we're not so, some people like me that are not so into that. So there are many posts that say that soda or coffee or tea might be included also in as chamar medina. It's a machloket, not everybody agrees with that, but that's one option in the poskim to those kinds of drinks as well. So that's one possibility. You can make havdalah on chamar medina, any of those kind of things. Another option instead would be to use grape juice or wine. But to give it to a child, the same way that Ashkenazim do last Shabbos, the Shabbos during the 9 days, same thing here also. Give it to a child between the ages of 6 and 9. It has to be older than 6 so they're old enough to understand what's happening. They have, age chinuch. And younger than age 9, because over age 9 already, they're old enough, they should be themselves mourning. So if it's older than that, then they shouldn't really be drinking wine either. And therefore, they shouldn't do this. But between age 6 and 9, so then they also can drink the grape juice or wine from the Havdalah. If it was...
Who drank this? With Eliana or Shmuel?
They both did.
Either one is 6.
Okay.
Together they're 8.
Okay, sounds good to me. They spilled most of it. Okay, it didn't work so well. All right, my son was 8. He drank last week.
Great.
In our house, it's like a rite of passage. And when you get to be that age, you get to drink the whole cup of grape juice. We usually give them grape juice. We don't give them wine. So that's another possible option. If it's not an option, there's no kids around, and you don't have chamar medina, so then maybe you can drink grape juice or wine if you need to. Definitely.
But somebody who has to really should make havdalah with the kos.
As opposed to what?
I'm saying, so you said somebody about to eat on...
Right, yeah, they have to. They have to, in one of these forms, either, again, with some other drink or...
But without the first blessings, right?
Say that again?
No, not
without the first blessings.
Correct. Either way, you wouldn't say that. Correct, yeah. Correct, absolutely. Yes, correct, exactly. Okay, next question. What?
I thought you said it's better to have soda.
There's different customs here, meaning...
Unless you have somebody, a child drink.
One option is Chamer Medina, which some people say includes soda, and the other option is have a child.
By the way, it includes Coca-Cola, not Crystal.
That probably is true, yeah. Though again, maybe in Israel, maybe Crystal. I guess not Crystal.
I don't care.
Okay, I'll be masking on that one. I'll be masking on that one. Okay, it could be. I think RC Cola also qualifies. Okay. I think it's good enough. Right. Okay. All right. We'll discuss that. We'll fight about that later.
Okay.
All right. There's a question about children. I mean, let's say children in general are supposed to hear Havdalah. Okay. You have a 10-year-old or 11-year-old child. Unless they're my kids, we've spoken about in the past that my kids insist on fasting even when they're not supposed to. We won't go into that now. We spoke about that a few weeks ago. But let's say normal kids that don't fast the whole day on Tisha B'Av, when they're aged, let's say, 9 or 10 or whatever. So normally speaking, they're supposed to hear Havdalah, okay? And by the way, this is, not for now, but a different week, if they missed Havdalah at home, they probably should make Havdalah themselves, okay? Not for now. But on Tisha B'Av, so I saw the Shmir HaShavos Kol Chas on Tisha B'Av, that children that are eating on Tisha B'Av do not need to hear Havdalah. Okay, so they don't make Havdalah for themselves. And just because Tisha B'Av in general is unusual.
Even a 10-year-old.
Yeah, correct. So that's what he says. It's unusual. I think there might be some that disagree, but I think that's the standard practice, is to follow that, that they don't need to make Havdalah. One other point about that, if there is somebody in the family who's making Havdalah, then it's actually permissible for everybody else to be Yotze Havdalah with them. Meaning if one person in the house, let's say, again, we'll get to it later, maybe if a woman is nursing or expecting and she's not fasting, we'll get to that shortly, and she has to hear Havdalah, or somebody who's ill, then everybody else in the house can hear Havdalah, and they don't have to drink, and they shouldn't drink, obviously, but they don't have to make Havdalah again on Sunday night. Okay. Question I asked is, what about, let's say it's a woman who's going to be eating, she's pregnant or nursing, and we'll get to that in a minute. If that's the case, so then normally Ashkenazim, generally women don't make Havdalah for themselves if they can avoid it, because there's a Shaila, maybe women are not chayav. So in that case, the Shaila comes up, if you don't have that, can the man make Havdalah for the woman and then have somebody else drink? So the answer seems to be yes. Okay, the Shmir HaShavos Kol Chas discusses this one also. He says that the husband can make Havdalah for the wife and then she can drink. Okay, either if it's Chamer Medina, or again, if you have a kid, drinking grape juice or wine, or if not, if she needs to drink the grape juice or wine, she can drink it, and he still can make the Havdalah for her. If that's not an option, if he's not around, so again, we generally pass in for Ashkenazim that if the man's not available, then the woman can still make Havdalah for herself. Sephardim in general don't have such chumras. They generally, be fine with the woman making Havdalah. Though there's different questions about Mitzvah Shazman Grumma, which I guess maybe we'll avoid that for now. Let's not get to that now. I mentioned before about everybody else listening to Havdalah, so that's the Shari Tshuva, who mentions that point, that everybody can hear Havdalah and be Yotze. Okay, next point, last point for us, is about... fasting. Actually, there's a few more points, but this is the main one. In terms of fasting, so the halacha of fasting, is fasting this year the same thing as fasting for every other year? So the Be'er Halacha, and so in Tav Kuf Nun Tet, so he discusses he mentions Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Shvut Yaakov, two of the Achronim, who basically say that because this year's Tisha B'Av is a Nidcha, it's pushed off by a day, so there is more room to be lenient about fasting than every other year. So what that means basically is that, strictly speaking, somebody who feels even a little bit sick, a little bit ill, in theory could break their fast if they wanted to. On Tisha B'Av, even if other years they wouldn't break their fast so quickly. Again, we're not going to get into this now, but the only thing to keep in mind is that this doesn't mean that because you're fasting you start to get a headache, that you could just break your fast. It means somebody who, not because he's fasting, is not feeling well, but because he has some other illness, and fasting would make it worse. So in that case, even if he's only slightly ill, then he might be able to be more makeable. But if every time you fast you get a little bit of a headache, or you have to lie down, so that's not included. We're not saying that every single person that happens to can just break their fast. Somebody has a different
easier.
Yeah, so we're more lenient about it. Okay. Again, any particular questions you should ask about when it happens? I've had this before. I think last year or 2 years ago, somebody called me. She's a doctor, and she called me on Tisha B'Av afternoon. And she said, I'm really not well, I'm in bed and whatever. And she wanted to know whether she could
about herself.
Yeah, about herself. Exactly. I said, you're the doctor. You tell me whether you're...
Yeah, right. You're whatever. Exactly right.
Yes, I don't remember.
If a patient would come to you, you'd tell her, what would you tell her?
Right.
I'd tell her, well, guess what, lady?
Right. So again, on this year, I think, there's much more room to be make ill if it's, anything which, more than just a slight illness. But again, you have to evaluate the situation. In terms of women that are nursing or women that are expecting, they're pregnant. So most poskim say, not all, I shouldn't say that, many poskim say that the same rules that apply normally on Tisha B'Av should apply this year as well. Meaning that generally speaking, the halacha is that they do fast, unless there's some sort of unusual situation, which again you have to speak to your doctor if there's any type of unusual type of pregnancy, or there's other issues that come up, if she doesn't fast well or anything like that. In general, you could be mekel, but if there's no unusual situation, then generally they do have to fast. That's what many poskim say. Rav Ovadia has a tshuva where he seems to say they could be mekel. He says that they don't have to fast at all. Basically because of the same idea that it's more lenient. And the basis that he gives for it, I think, is that they say that somebody who has a simcha, let's say somebody who has a bris, meaning who had a baby, and the bris is on Tisha B'Av, so there are many poskim that say that they don't have to complete the fast. Okay, they can, at least after Chatzot, they can actually eat the rest of the day. It's their Yom Tov. So based on that, I think if I got it right, again, I didn't have a chance to check it again now, I think if I got it right, that Rav Ovadia says, based on that, so then, this is no worse than that. I think he has a little bit more of a complex argument than that, but I think that was basically his point, that this case for women that are pregnant or nursing is no worse than that, and they can make it also. I then found, somebody showed me afterwards, that Rav Rimon, from Alon Shvut, so he also has, he had a line, a psak, that he basically said the same thing, that women that are fasting or pregnant, not even b'di'evit, but even l'charchila, that they can, they don't have to fast on Tisha B'Av on Sunday. And I was going to take it, I had it here, but yeah. So he says, that he quotes the whole thing, and then he says, oh, where did it go here? Hi, whatever. That's too long. I'm going to see the whole thing here. He basically says that he doesn't think that they have to fast. Again, part of that is because of the fact that Tisha B'Av is very hot and dry in Israel to begin with. So therefore, since anyway some people are supposed to wear mekel every year, that they don't have to fast. So certainly this year he feels that it's not a problem. He says for Tisha B'Av that generally speaking she should fast. But Tani Dechuya Yesh Lahachriya Shenu Beret Lo Tatzum Klal. She doesn't have to, at least somebody who's expecting, doesn't have to fast at all. And the same thing for somebody who is nursing. And then lo and behold, I saw tonight with the wife translated that Rav Kreuzer said the same thing. Okay, he holds that pregnant and nursing women do not have to fast. Again, here in Mitzvah Yericho, I definitely understand it because you walk outside and things are crazy. It's just so hot. The only consideration is if you stay in the air conditioning all day, then maybe it's not so bad. So again, it's something to weigh, it's a question, but certainly here if the Ravadi should pass that way, you don't have to go crazy about it. But again, just be aware that there are other posts that are more machmir about that. Okay, last point before we finish up is, again, we mentioned Sunday night, so you make Havdalah. We said just say the bracha boy pragafen and hamavdil. Most posts can say that even though there's a halacha on Motzei Tisha B'Av that you're not supposed to drink wine on Motzei Tisha B'Av, so most posts can say that that for havdalah you're allowed to. And some posts can say that grape juice is better. Okay, because really you're not supposed to drink wine on Motzei Tisha B'Av just out of mourning, that it's not appropriate. You'd have to show up to drink wine, which is happy. So grape juice might be actually better for this case, even though normally grape juice is the same thing as wine according to most. But in this case, it actually might be better. Okay, others say maybe you could use Chamer Medina, but it seems most say that wine is fine. If you ask me, I recommend grape juice. That's fine.
Things like haircut and wine.
So everything else, meat is not okay. Eating meat is you should not do, again, out of a vape, just it's not appropriate. All the other restrictions that other years you have to wait till the next day, this year on Sunday night you can do all of them. You can cut hair, shaving, washing clothes, that's a big one in our family.
Yeah, right.
All those things are permitted right away, okay, immediately after the fast is over. One other thing about Havdalah, that sometimes if the men are out and who knows what they're doing, but they're coming home late, and the people at home are having difficulty waiting for the men to come home, so there's two things. Number one, you can drink water before Havdalah, the same thing as every other Havdalah. Water is permissible, that usually would help enough. If not, so then, so there's machlokas, I saw, whether it's better for the women to wait for the men to say Havdalah and eat beforehand, or whether the woman herself should make Havdalah. That's a machlokas. So the best thing to do is just tell the men to come home on time.
Right.
Okay, don't wait around. That's basically, again, and that's what we say every other time, every other week also. If the man is not around, then the woman can make, it's only a chumra that Ashkenazim say that a woman shouldn't make Havdalah. It's, strictly speaking, it's permissible. So, but again, my question is going to be, we often go to the Kotel on the Tisha B'Av afternoon. There's a really big kumzitz that they have with a lot of singing with NCSY Kolel, which I often go to. So I was discussing whether I should still go or not go because of this Havdalah question. So I was going to say, I shouldn't go. My wife said, no, of course you should go, and I'll make Havdalah myself. I said, okay then, solved. Anyway, so that's the story with that. Okay, I think we covered most of the questions that come up this year particularly. There might be a few others we didn't get to, but those are the main issues that come up. If you have any other questions or anything specific, definitely feel free to send a message or whatever.
Meat you shouldn't eat at night, but daybreak the next morning, no matter.
Oh my gosh! Wow. Okay.
I'm just curious.
Yeah. Yes. That's fine.
Pretty much.
The whole thing at night is not. It's not a halacha. It's the Shulchan Aruch says it's appropriate.
This I'm saying, I know. You know, on a regular. You know, on a regular Tisha B'Av.
Yeah. So he says. Correct. They basically say that since that was the day that the Beis Hamikdash was burning, so it's appropriate, it's minhag kasher, it's an appropriate custom, not to eat meat. So here also the same thing we apply on this year of Tisha B'Av, just because right after fasting it's not right to go straight into eating meat and having simcha immediately. Should have done the same thing, by the way. What you say? It could be also, right. Another thing I saw also with music is a similar question. Can you listen to music right away? So, strictly speaking, it's probably permissible, but again, weigh it carefully, because again, we don't want to show that you're so happy the second Tisha B'Av is over. Could be that it's appropriate to laundry is fine. Everything else is fine. Yes, and music is a big one also. I don't remember if I saw that discussed or not, but again, strictly speaking, probably fine. But again, it's worth it to weigh the question of whether it's a minhag kasher also for the music, so you shouldn't get so excited so fast. Okay, yashar koach. Let's talk to Dov Marv. Shabbos, and Shabbos.